We are kind of rolling through the Dents in the Darkness series, and a little bit about that and by way of recap, and just so that we're kind of moving in the same page. We live in a broken and fallen world where there is plenty of darkness. Right? It can get really easy for us to get discouraged and wonder if there's any hope, any hope of things changing, any hope of things getting better. John 1:5 reminds us, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Right now, of course, that was written in the Gospels about Jesus, and it was quite some time ago that it was written. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, but this is still true even today. Yes, there's a darkness, but there is a light. There is a light. And that was kind of what week one was about. Now, again, of course, Jesus is talking about, John is talking about Jesus as the light here, but also Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:8, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Right? You were once darkness. I was once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Jesus is the light, right? The source of light. But when we become followers of Jesus and his light shines on us, then we're transformed. We're changed. And we become light in the world as well. Again, it's not that we're the source of the light. He is, but we're luminaries, right? We're meant to be a reflection of him. Jesus wants us to be people who dispel the darkness, right? To do something that dispels the darkness, to expose hidden things and to illuminate everything around us, because that's what light does. Or said another way, we're meant to make dents in the darkness, right? So that's what this series is about, and we're looking at ways we have been attempting to do that as a church community and looking forward to ways that we want to continue to do that, to be a light of Christ in the world and to make dents in the darkness. Now, last week, we looked at the impact events that we sponsored with Remedy Drive, brought them to 6 different campuses. Over 800 people were at the events in total. We kind of had a recap video. If you weren't here or didn't have a chance to see some of the things online that were posted, go to our Facebook page. You can watch that video in full. Gives you a taste of their concert. Also, just some of the interviews and things that took place. Right? 800 people, more than 800 people at these events heard about Jesus and were challenged to use their life in a way that makes a difference in the world. Right? Specifically in the fight against human trafficking, but in other ways as well. Right? The main message was, look, you only have one life, so what are you going to spend it on? That was the biggest question I think people were walking away challenged with at those events. When it comes to making dents in the darkness, you need to use your life. Right? And that was the focus of last week. This week's focus is use your time. Use your time. I want to look at a few different passages that we're going to see this morning. It's going to be hard to flip there, so I would just suggest following along on the screen this morning as we hear a number of different passages working things through. But we'll start in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17 say this: "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And I want to read that one more time. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, this was kind of restated in Colossians 4 as well, verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, right, towards those who don't know Jesus. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. As followers of Jesus, we have to make the most of the time we have. We have to take advantage of every opportunity that's before us to make dents in the darkness and to share the light of Christ, the love of Christ, the hope of Christ, the truth of Christ. Would you agree with that? Right? I hope so, because that's what the scripture says, right? Make the best use of the time. We need to do whatever we can, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel. We have to shoot our shot whenever we get the chance. Right? Romans 10, number of verses in Romans 10 here, starting in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. All right, so the essence of salvation, according to this passage, is belief and confession. Right? We believe that Jesus is Lord, and we confess the truth that he died for our sin, that he rose again on the third day, that he conquered both sin and death, and that we have put our faith and trust in him. Jesus' resurrection was supposed to be a proof for us that he has power over both sin and death. And that's pretty important, because if he has the power over sin, it means he can offer forgiveness for our sin. And if he has power over death, it means he can offer eternal life in heaven. Right? And the passage continues in verse 11, for the scripture says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Right? That's pretty clear. It's about belief. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, that's about confession. Right? The essence of faith or salvation in Jesus is our belief and confession of him. In verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And that doesn't mean preaching like this kind of thing. Right? Someone sharing with them. People can't come to believe in someone they've never heard about, is what Paul's getting at here. We need to talk about Jesus. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So yes, we've got to make the most of every opportunity and do whatever we can to share the truth of Jesus with those around us and to tell people about him. We've got to use our time. We've got to use our time. Now, again, I don't think if I said, how many of you agree with that, right? I don't think anyone here would disagree that that's what we're supposed to do when it comes to sharing the gospel message. I mean, it's right there in the passage, right? But here's the thing. The same thing applies to our good works as well. The same thing applies to our good works as well. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking here says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works. Right? It's not just talking about Jesus. It's talking about the good things that we do. And that will result in them giving glory to God the Father in heaven. So we're supposed to be a light to others, but specifically Jesus said the way we're supposed to shine is through our good works. Right, the way they are going to see our light is through our good works. If we aren't doing good works, then we aren't making the most of our opportunity. Right? We aren't using our time the best that we can. It's like taking our light and hiding it under a bushel, Jesus says. So Paul wrote about this too. He said, we aren't saved by our good works, but our faith should lead to good works. That's part of what God had in mind when he rescued us. He has good works prepared for us to do. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Right? It's not our works that save us, Paul says. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Paul says, look, God has things for us to do. He has things for us to do, good works specifically. If we aren't engaging in them, we aren't making the most of our opportunities, we aren't using our time the way we should. And if we're not making the most of our opportunities, then we're just wasting that time. Now, it's interesting, as I was preparing the message this weekend, I get this kind of like weekly article that comes up. It has a couple of different articles that I can scroll to and whatever. And one came up, and coincidentally, there was an excerpt from a book by Andy Stanley, who's a pastor and author, pretty well-known, large church situation. But his key thought was this, and I want to pull it up here. Faith that doesn't do good is no good. Right? That was the title of the article. Faith that doesn't do good is no good. And he pointed out that for the people of the early church, they saw Jesus as their king. And they were like his citizens. And he made this observation, and it said, he said, wherever his constituency found a foothold, the world became a better place. Not because of how his followers worshiped. Not because of what they believed. The world became a better place because of how they behaved. Why? And here was a great line, I thought. Because authentic faith does stuff. Right? Authentic faith does stuff. Faith that doesn't do good is no good. So in recent months, of course, we've been trying to do some stuff as a church, as a small church, trying to make some effort to do good things, to do good works, to do things in this world that make a difference for the sake of Christ. We've been focusing on the fight against human trafficking in an effort to make a difference in our world. It's part of what Psalm 82 tells us to do. This is the verse that's kind of been on my heart, and I know I've mentioned this a bunch, but Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4, give justice to the weak and fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Right? And again, I know I've mentioned this verse a ton. I'm not trying to create a whole thing out of just one verse, but I've got to mention there are a lot others that in essence say the same thing, right? Take up the cause of the poor and the oppressed and those who are weak and needy. Part of the good works that God has in mind for us includes those things. Those are part of the good works that he has prepared beforehand for us to do, like Ephesians says. And so, anyway, this idea is kind of what launched us in this effort to do the Remedy Drive events within the different universities. And the goal was to share the hope of Christ, but also to further that fight against human trafficking, right? And I want to just think back to that time a little bit as we were preparing and getting ready for that. Mentioned that over the course of the preparation that there were four different ways that people could be involved. Right? This was the challenge to us as a community as we headed into these impact events. And the first way that you could get involved was to give. Right? The money that we raised made this thing possible. And cool story, one of the first person to submit a pledge was for a few hundred dollars, and that person was a college student who didn't even have a full-time job at the time, right? That was really cool. That was quite something. Many of you contributed financially to this cause. We raised enough to cover the events and still have some now left over that we're able to contribute to the work of Exodus Roads Undercover Work, right? So that was pretty cool. That was the first thing. That was the first way you could be involved. Way back in August, we talked about you can give, okay? You can pray, right? We asked you to pray for the events. In fact, we took like 6 or 8 weeks where we highlighted all these things, right? The band, the impact of the event, the victims, the perpetrators, the rescuers, the events themselves that were taking place. And we even challenged us to consider fasting as well as praying. Right? So that was the second way we could be involved. The third was to attend. Right? To plan to show up for the event. And again, I know it wasn't maybe everyone's kind of music. No, it wasn't happening in our nice, comfortable pews right here in the church, you know, in your self-assigned church seat. Come on, I know you all sit in the same place every time, which is fair because I do the same thing, so, you know. But it was like, look, we're going to a different environment. We're giving up a couple of hours of our life to attend an event as a church that we're working to have an impact with some people, right? So you could attend and you could invite. Right, invite people. Because the focus, you know, thinking the focus on human trafficking and modern day slavery, we felt it was an issue that many people could get behind. Even those who aren't followers of Jesus can see the necessity for something like that. So it could be a pretty non-threatening event to invite people to. So 4 ways that we could get involved: give, pray, attend, invite. Come back to those in a moment. And so this series of events was something we heavily invested into as a community. We have been talking about it for months and actually looking to do this for over a couple of years before COVID hit. Now, of course, we did the local Oshkosh event, but bringing the band to 6 different campuses, that was a pretty aggressive. That was pretty ambitious for a small community like ours, but we were able to pull that off, which is so cool. Now, of course, there were obstacles. Pretty much at every single location. and here's something to pull out. When we are trying to use our time for the sake of the gospel, obstacles are inevitable, right? That's kind of like a key point for today. Obstacles are inevitable. They're going to come. Emily shared a little bit of the disappointment at their night at the event of Michigan Tech. Tons of buzz leading up to it. People were really excited about it. There were no school events or ongoing campus events that were taking place, so they were pretty excited. They were like the only deal happening, and thought it had a really good chance to have a great turnout, and then about a week out, all the fraternities and sororities decided that night would be their orientation. And a huge majority of their campus are involved in those things. So it was a little disappointing, right, to see that kind of thing happen. The UW Stout Show had a number of people who talked about coming but then decided not to because they were going to the Pride banquet that was in the right down the hall that night. They went there instead. The Eau Claire show had some bad weather that I'm sure hindered a lot of people. It got a little nasty. In fact, it got so bad that the drive to the next show in Houghton, the band had to pull over like an hour later because it was so slippery. And even pulling off the ramp, they almost went into the ditch twice with the van and the trailer. It was kind of scary. At Northern Michigan University, the concert was supposed to be on a Saturday night. It got bumped to Sunday night because another student group brought in a secular artist that was going to have this big crowd and big turnout on the Saturday night. And so we were able to do the Sunday night, but that event definitely hindered the attendance. Obstacles happen. They do. They're almost always inevitable whenever we try to do something to share the light of Christ in the darkness. Like, it's hardly ever easy. Obstacles are inevitable. And we should probably expect them. However, here's one of the challenges that I really want us to consider this morning. And the next point is this. Sometimes the biggest obstacle we face is getting past ourselves. Right? Sometimes the biggest obstacle we face is getting past ourselves. You know, let's think about the ways that we could be involved. How are you engaged with this effort? A little self-evaluation. Right? Did you give towards the effort to make it happen? Did you pray regularly for this impact effort? Did you show up? Did you invite others? And I'm not talking about like generally in the community. What about you and I personally? Did we do these four things? And just as a pastor, as a guy, if the answer is no, I hope there was a really, really good reason. I really do. Because we invested a lot of time and effort into this and really encouraged everyone to be there. And if you weren't there, you likely didn't invite anyone. If you didn't invite anyone, most likely you didn't have surrounding conversations, even if they weren't interested in going. Right? This was an opportunity. So, were you making the best use of the time that we had, the opportunity that we had? If you did do those things to the best of your ability, that's great. Thanks for being faithful to that cause and for going kind of all in with us and trying to make a difference. Now, hopefully for you, if you did that, or to whatever extent you were able to do that, that some really good things came of it. You heard some of them. I want to relay a couple in the video last week. I want to relay a couple more beyond the events, and I might get these stories a little bit mixed up because I've heard them a couple of different times. But at one event when we had students checking in, they had to, you know, do the check-in for an on-campus event, and students checked in, and they actually had this little survey that they gave out where if you filled it out, you could, you know, get in the prize drawing and that sort of thing. And one of the questions on the survey was, do you have any spiritual questions or are you open to a spiritual conversation with someone? And there was a person there that checked yes. And literally that night, one of their leaders got to have a conversation with this guy who ended up giving his life to Christ. Right? Like we literally got to watch it happening off to the side, right? Very, very cool moment. And this one I might get a little bit mixed up, but there were a couple of people who came in that weren't Christians. They attended the event. They didn't really know anybody, but they attended the event, and you know, they were kind of interested in the cause. But as a result, they were able to connect with a student who introduced themselves afterwards and just said, hey, don't know you, how you doing, how'd you get here, and met them, introduced them, and stayed in touch. And there were only a couple of weeks left of school, but they have some interest in coming back and checking out that campus ministry. Right? At Michigan Tech, we mentioned that the attendance was kind of low, but at the same time, even after the event, people were still asking about it and how it went. Even if they didn't attend, they loved that someone brought an awareness of such an important issue to their campus. And it had an impact, even if it was an indirect one. Right? And besides some of these individual stories, along the way, we got to interact with these other local groups who are active in the effort against human trafficking, fighting human trafficking. We got to hear from some people who are really passionate about that cause and doing some really great things. Just a couple of groups that I want to highlight and mention. One of them is Fierce Freedom. I think there's a picture here of their organization logo, Fierce Freedom. And this is a group where they do mostly education, but they go into schools and they really work on convincing young people about their own value and their own dignity and their own self-worth. Because they believe that if a foundation is established in their lives where they really get how valuable and significant that they are, they won't allow themselves to be mistreated by the people who are trying to take advantage of them. And similarly, if they get the idea that all the people around them are valuable and worthy, worthwhile, and have, you know, a positive self-image or an image of others, that there is dignity in every individual, if they get that about others, why would they ever want to treat someone as a commodity or to become engaged in some sort of human trafficking effort? right? So that's their heart. It was so cool to hear their story and their heart behind it. Another group was rescued and redeemed, and they did a number of things to rescue victims and redeem perpetrators. That was kind of their goal with this idea of some long-term rehabilitation and care, even opening up a house where people could stay if needed in the recovery process. There were groups like Exodus Road, who was not a representative at the event, but Remedy Drive was really all about that. And we're going to focus on that a little next week. They work undercover, right? We've talked about this. They work undercover to bring justice to traffickers and make arrests and set victims free. And groups like Damascus Road, who's a local organization right here in Oshkosh. They're actually going to be our guests here in 2 weeks when we have our church picnic. But they're going to be here, and we'll get to hear a little bit about what they do. But they're working to bring rehabilitation to victims of trafficking right here in Oshkosh and help them establish a new life to the extent that they can. And since they're local, we'll have this opportunity to get involved in a hands-on way if we choose to. Right, so there were so many good things that happened despite the obstacles that came with our efforts. And again, for those who engaged fully in this effort, or at least to the extent that you were able to, you helped make a difference. We really helped make a difference. Right? And here's the challenge that we'll walk away with this morning. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Last set of verses here this morning. It says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Right? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. The word for stir up here is paroxysmos. Paroxysmos, Greek word. And we translate it stir up. It also has other words that are kind of associated with it, like stimulate, to incite, or even to irritate someone. Right? To irritate someone. It's often used about love or anger, right? But this definition is actually a provocation which literally jabs or cuts someone so that they must respond. Right? Like, it can be irritating. But if it stirs us up to good works, we should do that. Maybe in some ways that's what the message is accomplishing this morning. Maybe it's irritating you. Maybe it's encouraging you. Maybe it's inciting you. But the scripture says we're supposed to do what is necessary to provoke people to love and to good works, and to engage in the things God is calling us to. Right? That's what it means to be stirred up, to love and to good deeds. Either way this is hitting you, we need to be stirred up to these things. The works that Jesus calls us to and the things he's preparing us for, we've got to step into, right? Now, all that being said, this morning, we're talking about things that have happened. But this is not a work that we're done with yet. It's not too late to get involved. We still want everybody to be a part. Right? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at some ways we can do that moving forward. Right, some ways that might involve giving or serving in a far more hands-on way than what we were able to do just hosting a bunch of events. In fact, I want to invite you, because this Tuesday at 7:30 here at church, we're doing some further planning. And anyone who wants to come, you are welcome to be there. We would love for you to show up 7:30 here at church on Tuesday. Right. We're going to be talking about and going over the opportunities we have to get involved and to be engaged in this good work. So jump in with us from here forward, right? From here forward. Because what's that key point? Faith that doesn't do good is no good. And I'm not saying that we aren't engaged or involved in other good things, right? I know many of your lives and how you're pouring out in many different ways to show the love of Christ. But I hope that we can get around this as a community, because this is our thing here at Portico that we're focused on for this season. Not forever, necessarily, but for the next 6 months or a year or two or however long it's going to be. Right? Let's get to work. Let's be the light we're called to be. Let's start making some real and significant dents in the darkness. Let's make the most of every opportunity we have and use our time here well. It's what we're called to do. Let's close in prayer, and there are a few more songs of worship we're going to end with today. Father God, you are a God who has called us to be a light in this world, to do good works, to use our time in a way that honors you, but also that leads people towards you, that shows the light of Jesus in this world in various ways, through the good things that we're doing. Yes, through sharing the gospel, but through our good works as well. And Father God, as a community, as we are looking forward to how you call us to do that, as well as looking back at the things we've had the chance to do, we want to say thank you. Thank you for using us in various ways to have an impact in this world for the better, to bring light into this world. We are grateful for how you've chosen to do that and how you bless these efforts. We ask and pray that you would continue to do that, that you continue to stir us up to love others, but also to the good works that you are calling us to. And as a community of faith, I pray you give us the courage, the willingness to kind of not be our biggest obstacle, not be our own biggest obstacle, but to get past ourselves and to be able to step into what it is you're leading us to. We pray that the fruit would come, that the results would come. We're going to trust you for that. We just long to be faithful to what you've called us to. So, Father God, hear our prayer. Stir in our hearts. Whether it's that word of encouragement that just says, well done, or whether it's that other kind of encouragement that says, let's go. God, we trust you for what you are speaking to us today. And God, we lift all of this before you because it's really all about you. And we just want to pursue you and what you want and your desire and your heart and the picture of your kingdom seen visibly here in this world. Help us to keep our focus on you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll close in worship.